Oh, the weather outside is Christmas.
How do we start this, Eugene?
We just go like, welcome to episode 58 of the Rescue Server Mindset Podcast.
Let's do it. Let's do it this way. I say one word, you say the other. That bullshit.
Okay. Welcome
to
episode
58
of
the Rescue
Swimmer
Mindset
Potty.
I apologize for putting you guys through that.
That's the Rescue Swimmer Mindset Podcast, episode 58. If you missed that, that's our new intro.
You have your host, Vincent Cody, here. The OG crew, bringing it back, catching up on the holidays, seeing how you're doing, how your little fins are kicking. All you minnows, tadpoles, and dragonflies, yes.
Just like those coronavirus times when it was just you and me doing the podcast.
In the basement, in the basement. You guys don't understand.
In my basement.
We were in a leaky basement under pipes. This podcast sounds professionals, but really there was like dead old, I was going to say dogs, but that just makes it sound like serial killer. So
yeah,
we were just in a basement making a podcast. But now we've improved with all you listeners. As we grow as a community, the quality of this product that we bring you is increasing, hopefully. So,
I mean, I recorded this podcast when I first started it in my car.
That's right. You were on your
cell
phone. Because
it was the best recording studio.
It is, because it's like muffled on the walls.
It's like
right?
Soundproofed. Yeah.
Yeah. For all of you guys that are starting a podcast, there's such a thing as like different mics. Some pick up like the ambient noise a lot, and some are like the one I'm using. It's just nice and close, and you don't hear. I mean, there could be literally somebody dying next to me, and you probably won't hear them if they're not that close to the mic. So you kind of want to buy those, but Cody has the one with the ambient noise.
Yeah, mine sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Joe Rogan uses the ambient noise one. So to each their own, Cody.
I'll probably get the one you have pretty soon when I move because it's better.
Or just foam up your walls.
No, I'm not going to do that. It's just too much work. I'm not going to foam a whole room.
And that looks like a psych ward.
Yeah. It's like someone comes over like, oh, what's this for? It's my podcast.
Are you mental?
No.
Podcast.
I have a podcast.
All right. We got big news on the podcast today. Big updated news. Should we just say it before we get into our advertisement? I think we should say it because otherwise people are going to tune out.
We really have nothing for today. This is the big news.
The big news is that this is the Seinfeld episode, except that we do have big news, Cody. Mr. Cody Wright is rejoining the Coast Guard. What?
Yeah.
You've heard it here first, people.
It's breaking news.
It is breaking news. That's a pretty
I mean,
big
I guess
deal.
For the RSM community, it's breaking news. But yeah, joining the Coast Guard.
He's going back into the trenches.
But here's the plot twist.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a BM.
And this is going to turn into why like being a bosun's mate is so much better than becoming a rescue swimmer.
Yeah. No, I'm actually not. I'm joining the Coast Guard again as a rescue swimmer. AST. That's the official name. Aviation Survival Technician, as you all know. Joining back. I do have my location, but we're just not going to disclose it because I don't have orders there yet. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk about it before I'm even like officially assigned there, but it's a good one.
It's a big secret unveil, and we'll get into the nitty gritty of the process that we've kept from our community for so long.
We're just going to talk about the rejoining process because now I've joined the Coast Guard twice. So I feel like that's a unique experience.
It's pretty awesome. Dude, this is a pretty big deal. And just so you guys know, he joined only for the Rescue Swimmer Mindset to get you the updated info so you guys can get the current scoop.
There used to be an error program. Now it's NXX. I got to join to figure it out. No, it's the whole scoop. I'm just going in.
The reality is he rejoined because we're running out of media to share on Instagram. running out of current pictures.
Yeah. No, not really. But
no, we'll get into the why. Huh?
We could get into the why. Yeah. Should we just start with the whole process?
No, let's start with advertisement. So, if you would like to become a helicopter rescue swimmer, just like Cody Wright, jumping out of helicopters and getting out and going to college and then rejoining the Coast Guard, if you want that for your own life, then you need right now to go to the rescueswimmermindset.com/breathe. Let's be real.
That's the best program.
You could be an athlete, but the reality is you don't know how to hold your breath. You don't know. So go to rescueswimmermindset.com/breathe and learn to just survive underwater.
It's solid. You don't survive. Like maybe you could like survive another minute.
No, there's a whole chapter on gill breathing. Like,
on Gilbert.
He's going to become Kevin Costner in Waterworld. So
I've been meaning to do that. I've been meaning to go back and email everyone who bought your course because there's so many, and I want to know all the freaking. I want to get some reviews for it, and I haven't done that yet. I think it'd be a blast.
Well, how about this? We've never guaranteed anything with this program, but let's throw out some guarantees. We guarantee that if you take my Hold Your Breath Like a Helicopter Risk Swimmer program, that you will be able to survive underwater, as in hold your breath, for a minimum, I repeat, a minimum of 30 minutes. That's 30 minutes. You take my course, full refund, 30 minutes. Just in our terms and conditions, anything we say on the podcast is not valid and is not actually reliant on the return policy, which is a full refund. But
what is actually in the course?
Aside from holding your breath for 30 minutes minimum?
Yeah.
Well, everything. First of all, amazing cinematography made by your own Vince here. Thousands of hours of editing process. But aside from that, no, it's combining the science of breath holding. So I keep repeating this one, but it's really one of the most valuable ones, especially for rescue swimmer school, is the preparatory breathing process, you know, because there's only so much you can do underwater. There's a lot, and there's a whole section of this is, you know, technique swimming underwater, but what you do before you get underwater, and I'm talking the training, but also just how you breathe, how you relax, and just the timing of your breath is something that most people don't understand. And that's something that's going to be crucial in, say, Navy SEAL school, when these instructors are yelling at you to get underwater or do whatever drill. You need to be able to calm yourself, calm your heart rate, and specific breathing techniques I teach in that. That's what's really going to get you there. And yeah, so far people have been pretty happy about it. Yeah, I mean, we had one guy that held his breath for 50 minutes.
50, an hour.
Yeah, there was an hour 20. Yeah, so all the record holders in the world are coming out of the Hold Your Breath Like a Helicopter Risk Swim program. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
But in all fairness, it is a solid course.
Yep.
There is a full refund if you take the course and decide that it wasn't for you or that you didn't get anything out of it, which has never happened before. No one's ever done that. Facts. You won't be able to hold your breath for the claims that Vince is making, obviously. If you could, you would essentially just be a dolphin. But other than that, it's a solid course.
Yep. Let's talk about the latest thing that we're going to come out with for the community here, which is, what, say the title, Cody. Say it now.
The Perfect Form Masterclass.
Perfect Form Masterclass. So, yeah, I'm excited for this one. I think this one's going to rival the Hold Your Breath. Basically, if you want to attend live, I'd strongly recommend that. So if you want to attend the class and interact with Cody and I live, then go on our their page. And that's what's available right now on the Perfect Form.
And the live class takes place on... Yeah, we'll do the link in a second here. Yep. The live class takes place on January 27th. And that is at 8 Eastern time. So 8 p.m. Eastern time, or, you know... Well, yeah, 8 p.m. So, you know, freaking, if you're on the West Coast, it's going to be 5 p.m. Yep. And you can extrapolate from there.
Yep. So what we're going to do is we're truly going to break down swimming form. We're going to go surface and underwater. So a lot of people are asking us about like underwater techniques, and we're definitely going to break down how and which stroke, which kick, which pull to do, and how to do it efficiently. And it's also going to include surface swimming. So mostly the freestyle, because that's usually what you do in any type of elite military training. So breaking down from your fingertips.
Well, they also do like a combat swimmer stroke, but we're not going to cover that because we don't do it.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that. It's like, it's going to be really in depth as far as like the freestyle goes, because that's what you mostly use. So, and buddy toe a little bit. We're going to break down the most classic strokes that you use, and that's from your fingertips to your finger toes. Breaking it down exactly how you want your hips positioning, how the timing of your stroke, your breath, how you want to inhale, how you want to exhale. And that's really what like swimming comes down to, is like how efficiently you can do your stroke. There's so many shit shows out there.
That's true. I was a shit show.
Yeah, but then for a while. There's shit shows that can pull through and like eventually adapt and learn the technique. But then there's those other shit shows where you're like, oh, they had the grit, they had the attitude, they had the mindset, they had what it takes, they just didn't have the knowledge of the technique.
Yeah, we had a guy. I was talking with Corey like last week on the podcast, and there was like another airman in the program with us who was with Corey. He was like pretty solid. Like, mentally, he was okay, but he didn't have like that water background, the water like proficiency, I guess, and stroke technique and just being able to like go underwater and do a decent stroke to get across the pool. And he just kind of, he eventually just like, it was too much for him, you know, like he could take it for a few weeks, but eventually the volume and the intensity of the training just like overpowered his ability to swim, you know? So you need the technique.
I just had Josh Latuka on the Wildertainment podcast. Check that out, please. Josh Latuka went to swimmer school with me, but did not make it. And yeah, that episode just came out yesterday. So, you know, what was it? 12, you had 12 minutes to do a 500 yard swim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He would come out at like every time 11:40, 11:50. Oh. Like I think once he came out at like 11:56 or something, right?
That's pretty slow.
It's really slow. And you were just like, every time I would get to the end, because, you know, not tooting my own horn, I was one of those like faster swimmers in my class. And I would stand there and I usually knew that most folks had like one or two laps left once I was done, you know, back and forth. And then every time he would, you know, he had the integrity. So he'd touch the end where I was standing, like after the second lap or something. And he would go again. I was like, oh my God, he's got one more. And I was like,
oh wow,
brutal. And that yeah, sounds- a lot of that was due to, I just say technique, because he was so determined, confident in the water, underwater, but just didn't have like the form, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The biggest one with form too, like, I don't know if you've seen this. I see people like short stroking their, like when they're, I mean, I'm not going to get into it too much, but it's like, that's an easy fix. Just don't short stroke your freaking poles.
Yeah. We're definitely going to get into like how to extend. Like, yeah, that's some freebie information for you, but definitely always trying to elongate yourself as much as possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and like one of the fun things, like, for example, we'll talk about is they always say point your toes, but that's not really true. And actually, if you point your toes aggressively, you know, we'll talk about finning and not without fins on in the program. But that said, when you point your toes, you're actually kind of cramping up your calf muscles and exhausting yourself. That's not what you want to do. You just want to point your feet, keep your toes loose, and just kind of you kind of loose a little bit, not too stiff in the ankles. And yeah, that's the kind of stuff we're going to talk about. And a lot of picture, a lot of videos for you guys to break down. And then we'll be, you know, it's going to be an interactive course. So you guys are going to have to participate and learn some shit.
Yeah. So if you want to get the course, it's not, you know, get the course, you just sign up for it and you'll have a spot reserved in the course on the 27th of January, 8:00 Eastern time. Go to rescuesummermindset.com/perfect form. And we will put a link in the show notes. If you're interested in reading more about it, go to the link. You can go to our Instagram page, go to rscreammindset.com/products, look at it for yourself, all that stuff. Just go up to the website, you'll find it. It's everywhere. Click on it and read about the course.
And it'll be live, so you guys can ask us as many questions as you want.
Yeah, we're just going to go until we run out of time. Not time, but questions probably, because we'll probably just sit there all night.
Until we could fall asleep, basically.
Yeah, we'll just fall asleep.
Questions. Yeah. Okay, cool. Back. Wait, so also just Wildertainment podcast. We had some cool guests. One thing, Cody, we just talked about, I recorded it, and that one's going to come out in a couple weeks. We talked to one of my good friends. We call him Chewbacca because everyone's got Chewbacca. A trail name. Yeah, if you're outdoorsy, you have a trail name. So just know that, you guys, if you're outdoorsmen, get a trail name. So Chewbacca talks about, he's a Leave No Trace master educator. So once you graduate like the National Outdoor Leadership School outdoor educator program, then you can become a master educator, and that's what he does. So he teaches people how to minimize their footprint and basically just be like conscientious outdoorsmen. And it was really cool because we went down the 7 principles of minimizing your impact. So that's like how to camp, how to walk, how to, you know, take care of your waste, how to plan, how to prepare. Really, like, that was an educational packed course or class. So check that out on the Wildertainment podcast. That's going to be out next week. Subscribe, because we're not going to put it on the Rescue Swimmer Mindset much longer. It's going to be its own thing. So, its own thing. All right, enough with that. Let's get to it. Cody in the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah. We're back at it.
I'm going to interview you for this.
Oh, yeah.
What made you make the move? Do you have the itch?
I kind of just had the itch. I think it was basically, so like whenever I got out like, wasn't that long ago, really. It was like June 2017. So I got out with the intention to go to college, ended up going to college, graduated. But about the time, you know, as I was getting ready to graduate, it was about roughly what, like let's see, like March-ish, April of 2020, coronavirus attacked. I don't know if you've heard of this thing called the coronavirus.
Heard of it.
But it's a big thing. So yeah, basically around that time, I was getting ready to graduate. Didn't have a job lined up or anything. I had already kind of been thinking about joining the Coast Guard again, just because I was kind of getting that itch from working with people through the Rescue Mindset. So I had, you know, I'd been working like coaching people for that year and a half at that point, and I enjoyed it. And it was kind of making me want to get back into it. So I had in the back of my mind, coronavirus hit. We were still working with Rescue Mindset. Job market, not looking great out there, guys and girls. So that's something to consider too. So a little mix of wanting to move on, kind of get another job post-college, you know, and kind of get in that itch. It just kind of seemed like a good fit. And some of the things, you know, like when I was in the Coast Guard the first time, you know, we were both stationed in Detroit, and sometimes Detroit wasn't the greatest if you were joining the Coast Guard to kind of do the rescue swimmer mission, just because you're inland, you know? So I thought if I can get somewhere on the coast, I might enjoy it more. And that's what happened. So,
yeah. Well, without telling people where you're going, you so far
it's on the ocean.
Yeah, it's leaning towards a pretty cool station. So
yeah, I'm pretty stoked on it. So yeah. I'm excited to actually do the mission there, and hopefully this time around, I'll have a blast as usual. You know, I think it'll be great.
Talking about coaching, it just reminded me of that story you told me where you give it like more or less a free kind of training seminar, but like get together for a couple of young folks down in like California, was it?
I met up with like some of the guys in the NXX program in San Diego. So they're all in non-rates. That was a blast too. Yeah, we like worked out at a Navy base. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, but I love you just sharing that, like the difference in generation when you notice them go and do like the TikTok finger pointed thing. Like, so anybody, we're not live on YouTube for this one, but you know, two index fingers pointed like guns like at each other, and I guess it represents like shyness. We had to Google it because we're older.
It's just like two like pointer fingers pointing literally like tip to tip. And yeah, I mean, here's the thing, like there's a generational gap between like the TikTok generation and like I guess ours, which is like late 20s. So I don't know.
Oh my god, dude, TikTok's entertaining, but like, yeah, I go on there for marketing purposes, but like there's that one song like right now going where it's like I'm gonna be a Victoria's supermodel, and you're just like people posing and you're like, ah, god, what's that?
I haven't seen that.
Just like not cool. But yeah, that's really funny. And so you saw these people with index pointed and just like turning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's totally like a big generational gap there.
Yeah, and you thought like that was just a TikTok thing until like you saw it in like day to day.
I saw like literally like guys in the Coast Guard doing it to each other, and I was like, oh, okay, it's a thing.
I wish I would have been there for that. That seemed fun. Yeah. All right, let's talk about like your process of rejoining the Coast Guard. So when did you actually start?
So I guess we'll talk about the whole process because someone listening to this too could be interested in rejoining the military. Maybe like you were in a different service and you want to join, so this might be beneficial and from that point. Or maybe you're in the Coast Guard and you actually want to rejoin, who knows, like the one person listening to that would that apply to. But whatever, so I called the recruiter, I would say, let's see, must have been in June, like June 2020. So that's when I officially started the process, and I had no idea what I would have to do. I was like, well, I guess I'm just rejoining and I'll see. Like, I assumed that they would find, like, I talked to another swimmer. I think I talked to, it was Nate. I was talking to him. I think we were like FaceTiming or something, like with Ashley Leppert. Like, we were just like, she was in town, so we were FaceTiming. And he said that he knew someone that rejoined, and it sounded like pretty simple. So I was like, all right, I'll just see how it goes. So
wait, when was this that you had this conversation?
That was in like early June, I think, because Ashley was driving through. We met up, like hung out, and then talked to Nate. And then like maybe a week after that is when I called. So called him, and the recruiter was like, yeah, you got to go back to MEPS.
And I was like, for all those of you who have not started the military process, MEPS, which, do you know what that stands for?
It's Military Entrance Processing Station.
That makes sense. Yep. And that's exactly what it is. and MEPS... Why don't we like talk about our first MEPS experience and like our secondary, like your secondary.
Okay.
One. So like first MEPS experience, it's kind of an odd thing because you're totally a civilian just trying to join a more or less a company, right? Like the military is, in a sense, it's not a company, but it's a job, it's a position, right? It's a service to your country, but it's nevertheless a job. And at that point, you're in the application process. It's not final, but you're getting there. And you show up to this place that's called MEPS, and they really already start to talk to you like you're in the military, don't they?
Yeah, they usually like are pretty stern with you. Some of them will kind of get a little snappy, a little yelly.
Yeah, they're very boot campy, and you're like,
it's weird.
You're like, I'm not in boot camp.
I'm just in high school, or I'm just I just got off work.
Yeah. I don't need this just yet, you know, relax. Like, yeah. Just seeing the doctor over here.
When you when you boil the whole MEPS process down, it's just getting a physical.
That's really what it is. Yeah. Anyway, you show up to this place, and then it's kind of interesting because there's the different branches, right? All the branches are usually there, and you kind of get to see the different personalities and, you know, not to talk down on any branches, but like I recall the Marines being like, at least in MEPS, total jocks, like where I was like just having discussions with them, and they're like, oh, yo, how many pull-ups can you do? And I was like, are we having this conversation? Like, I'm at MEPS, dude. Like, does it matter? And he's like, because I just cracked out like 15. But to be fair, the Marines are the few that I think have to do some PT stuff at MEPS.
Oh, they do?
To actually do pull-ups, I think, or something like that. That's what they were telling me. So, yeah. So anyway, you go there, and while you're going through your process, I remember ours had like a ping pong table, and then they gave us crappy Subway. Only a 6-inch, which is, come on.
It's like just turkey.
Yeah, it was like, a cold turkey Subway sandwich. You have to do certain tests, like physical tests, like the duck walk, right? That's like a classic one that everyone always talks about.
Yeah, they basically just check like mobility on all like joints and tendons and stuff. Duck walk is one where it's like the classic, I guess. What else is there? There's like bear crawl. I was gonna say, is there bear crawl? There's not.
Yeah, they shoot M16 overhead as you bear crawl through the medical facility. One that really was a challenge for me is they have you check the mobility of your thumb. So like you got to touch your index, then your middle finger and ring finger and so on. And then they have you slide that thumb all the way down your pinky to like the palm of your hand. And I had just broken my thumb skiing, like literally a couple days before. But it's like, you know how MEPS is, right? Like once you get your date to go, it's like you don't cancel it. It's a big thing or something.
It's just hard to get a date. Yeah.
It's hard. So I was like, shit. Like, and you know, you want to be open with them, but you're also like, damn, like I knew the thumb would be fixed after, but I knew I needed to pass the test now. So I'm like there, and the doc looks like at all our hands doing that. And he walks to me and like, I think he heard me just like as I put my thumb down, because the thumb was broken like four spots. I had to have like metal rods in or whatever. And I just go like, it was actively broken. Nothing, no surgery yet. I just start sliding that thumb down on the palm of my hand. And I think I let out a little. and then he looks at me like eyebrow, like, huh? And I just like poker faced him, like, I'm good. That was fine. Easy. All day, every day. And then he like walked away, and I was like, fuck, that hurt.
That's crazy. Yeah. That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's like, wait, what?
Yeah. And then there's also the talk of, what is it? Like, people are always afraid like they're going to get probed.
I didn't get probed. You don't get probed. Yeah.
I think some people did.
I don't know.
Because they always talk about that. But anyway.
I think that's just like one of those stupid rumors.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably. Overall, it's a pretty easy process. It's mostly just doing a bunch of paperwork and seeing a doctor for a physical. I remember. So that actually went well my first time.
Yeah. Yeah. And
pretty smooth.
But, you know, at that point, I'd say you're a little more fearful because it's something new, right? Now, the opposite of that is now you had gone through that process before. So how was that now?
The second time through, it was just like, it was more comical than anything. Because like, you're just like, you're around a bunch of people who are joining the military. Like I was just with a group of, you know, like guys and girls who were going to their first time. I don't think anyone's going to their second time. And they're just like, just wired, you know, ready to go. Just because they're like all 18, like joining the military, like super squared away. Not in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, other ways where they're just like super like, not thinking, you know, because sometimes when you get yelled at or like when people are stern with you, you start to like kind of freak out, especially like you'll learn that in boot camp if you go through. So yeah, going through the second time was kind of like a comical because everyone was trying to be like stern with me, like the, you know, the authority figures in MEPS. And I was like, all right, like, I get it. Like I already went through this whole process and it's not like, I know who you are. Like you're not affiliated with the military. Like you are affiliated, but you're not in the military. Like you can't do anything. So it was like much more, a more chill experience.
Yeah.
And almost comical because you can kind of like sit back and watch everything going down. And you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like this and that. Like there's so many different scenarios you like run through and you're like, oh, I would have been kind of freaked out if that happened to me, you know, like when I first went through, but now I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Didn't you get kind of scolded by like the kiosk lady?
Yeah, like I basically like, I forget, I took my sweatshirt off because I was getting hot. And I just like, I was like hot in the room and I was like, I put it on the chair and I like went up and like had to go get like blood drawn or something. Not blood drawn, but like, I don't know. They do like a bunch of tests on you, like just random like medical tests. And I had to go do one of those, maybe like check my ears or something. And I like walk in the room and I come back, like literally gone for 60 seconds and my sweatshirt's gone. And I was like, there was like a bunch of people sitting in the chairs, like 20 chairs lined up. And it was a bunch of people in MEPS. And I was like, hey, do you guys see what happened to my sweatshirt? I was just, I put it right there. And they're like, everyone was like, I don't know. Like they didn't even answer. Like, they're like, I don't know. And I was like, scared. How do you not know? Like you were like, I was gone for 60 seconds. You should know. So like, I just like, I'm like, all right, well, I'll just like, I guess I'll get it later. So I just like continue with the medical stuff. And then like, I think like later that day, I was like, towards the end, I was getting ready to go talk to like the Coast Guard liaison. And like, I saw it like behind the main desk at MEPS. And I was like, hey, can I have my sweatshirt back? I don't know why it's over there. And they're like, the lady that was working was like, oh, that's your sweatshirt? I was like, yes, that's my sweatshirt. She was like, so you left gear adrift. And I was like, that's what she said. And I was like, yeah, I guess I did. I did leave gear adrift. She's like, you can't leave gear adrift. I was like, okay. And then I was like, can I have it back, please? And she's like, yeah, here you go. But I was like, all right. Just like,
what are we out at sea? Like,
I mean, we're in downtown Denver.
I think it's okay if I leave gear adrift. Like thousands of
miles. Did you leave gear adrift?
I was like, do you even know what that means?
So I'm guessing she had like some kind of Navy affiliation or something.
She must have. Yeah. I don't know. But I think
I hear like an army guy saying that. Like,
yeah, I get like the mindset behind that. But I was like, I mean, I just went in there to get my blood drawn or whatever. And I just want it back.
Marines are like, did you leave gear out in the dunes?
In the dunes? Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. But other than that, it was like totally smooth. MEPS process both times I went through. I mean, MEPS is just like annoying because... Well, it's the one time you have to like deal with people who aren't joining the Coast Guard. So it's just different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I recall one of the things that like annoyed me was when they took fingerprints and I was like, God damn it. Like, why? Like, I didn't do anything. I was like, now there goes like ever a career in crime. If I like, crime. Not that I ever considered it, but like, that's an option that's out the window now. I can't be a criminal now because... You guys have my fingerprints. Like before, you never get your fingerprints unless you get detained or something, right? Or like have some kind of, I think if you get arrested, you get your fingerprints taken or whatever. Even if you didn't, if you're acquitted. But like, I was like, damn it. They got the prints now. They got the prints.
Now you can't like pull the like hang glide into like a bank or something. Or no, what do they do? What do they like cut the hole in the top?
I don't know. Steal the toys in Walmart, like the Grinch.
Lower down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you can't still. Yeah, like the Grinch.
I can't Tom Cruise a Walmart. Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool.
Sucks.
Wait, did they have to take your fingerprints a second time? I'm guessing no.
Yeah, they did. I think because a lot of times they just like do it again because they're like, I don't know, maybe we have them, but who cares?
We'll might as well take them again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Dude, your hair right now, you look like one of the ghetto boys.
Oh yeah. I got the
straight
beanie
out of
on.
Detroit.
Yeah, I was with climbing. The long hair. I just got back from climbing.
Oh nice, yeah.
So I was bouldering the whole time. If you guys don't know, just bouldering is just like climbing short routes, but it's like the classic boulder beanie. Like that's the stereotype. You gotta wear a beanie when you're bouldering.
I disagree though. Like the beanie when you're bouldering doesn't have like the Navy SEAL from Charlie Sheen movie, like extra bun on the top. Like that's what you have going on. And that's what I wear too. But like the boulders wear it tight fit on the top. You're rounded, but you have like that little extra. I am a Hollywood Navy SEAL from the 80s. Yeah. Look right now.
Like a Charlie Sheen beanie.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so you go through MEPS now. Are you not gonna have to go through boot camp then? Like a little 4-day boot camp in
No boot camp. Nope.
Okay.
None of that.
I wonder I wonder why you skipped that.
There are, it's just because I'm literally joining to do the exact same thing that I did before. But when I was researching it, because like when I was first doing all the process, I was like, hey, what am I going to have to go? I think it's called Depot. So it's like a shortened boot camp. Basically they send people to Depot who have been through some sort of boot camp and are joining the Coast Guard to do a job that's related, but they still want to kind of indoctrinate you into the Coast Guard ways, you know, like, so if you're in the Air Force and you were, you know, a flight mechanic or something, or if you worked on like avionics on a aircraft and you want to join the Coast Guard to be like an AET or something, they'd put you through the Depot and you'd like kind of get into the Coast Guard and they give you uniforms there, kind of like put you through a mini Coast Guard boot camp. Like, this is kind of how we do things. It's like, I think it's like 3 weeks or something. And then they'd ship you to probably straight to A school, I think, but it depends on like the rate or whatever. But it's basically just like a quick little mini boot camp to show new people how the Coast Guard does things.
Is it that long? Is it 3 weeks? I thought it was just 3 weeks.
Because I think like from what I was reading, it was like a bunch of like, you know, you got to get your uniforms and all that stuff and get everything ready. And then I think during that time or like around that time, that's when they figure out like exactly what your rank will be. Because sometimes they don't send you back through A school. So like if you went through like a freaking A school, it's about the same as the Coast Guards. They would just send you to your unit as that rate or whatever. So it just depends. It's like case by case. So yeah, I don't have to do it just because I've already, it's not the same job. Basically.
So it's more for inter-service situations, yeah, is what you're saying.
It's pretty much all inter-service from what I was reading, which is cool.
And it's really weird because they're very few. And what I must, like, I think they do get assigned a company commander, but that's kind of weird because, again, I think at the time I was going through, they were like five or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what, these five individuals go through 3 weeks of their own little boot camp? Who's like, I don't know.
I kind of thought when I was first joining, I thought I was going to have to go through it. And my recruiter didn't know either. So he was like, I don't know what we're going to do. Because he was new like to the process too. He's like, I never like had someone join that was rejoining the Coast Guard. So I mean, we figured it out and don't have to do that. But I thought I was gonna have to. I thought that would have been like kind of fun actually, like going back to Cape May as a already like having been in the Coast Guard, you know.
It's sort of, yeah, it kinda seemed really entertaining.
Yeah.
That would have been some good podcast stories, but whatever.
Yeah.
What was the recruiter's kind of behavior as you walked in as a prior rescue swimmer, you know, because he's a Coast Guard recruiter?
Oh, I don't know. I it's probably the same as most people's experience. It was just like, yeah, it was like a quicker process because he didn't have to explain anything because I like kind of understood most things. So he was like, hey, we just got to do this and this, and then I'll send it out. And if your paperwork gets approved, you're good to go.
Did you call in or just walk in?
It was during COVID. So I called. And I mean, COVID basically, like for all of it, you're doing most of stuff just like over the phone, like emailing and stuff like that. So I think I've like been to the office like a total of like three times the whole time. And I'll go more as I like finish up, obviously.
Yeah.
So it was like pretty smooth. And I think it's just because my, you know, it's like case by case, obviously. But for me, it was like super easy just because, yeah.
But it wasn't kind of like impressed because, you know, like swimmers are such a small like rate. I just would have thought like you might have been like, oh, that's cool. I never have anybody rejoining, let alone a swimmer. That's like, you know, a very small percentage of the branch, you know.
But, yeah. I think recruiters in general just like don't see a lot of people rejoining, like, you know, in general. So, I mean, I think they're all just new to the process, no matter what rate you're going when you're getting back in. So
do they give you free shit?
No, I forgot about that. I should have got like some pencils or something.
I didn't get any. I think I got a pencil or something too. But like, I think like, because I know how the other branches are really like shower you with little gifts to join their branch.
Yeah.
But the Coast Guard, I think, yeah, they.
Coaster's like, we don't really
we don't need you.
Like, yeah. If you want to, like, here.
There's a pencil. You could show it to your ma. Yeah. Cool. What about, like, security clearance goes? Like, I'm assuming that had expired. So do you have to go through, like the miles of paperwork again?
I'll have to do all that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You putting, like, references down and shit? Like,
all that stuff. It's just, like, pretty much, like, rejoining. Yeah. So. Yeah.
It's a process. One. That's like the longest document. That's like the longest questionnaire I've ever filled out. Huh? Like the security example. How many pages is it? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Yeah. It's like 20 plus pages from my long at least.
Yeah.
And like they're asking you like for your third cousin's sister's dog's name and where he lives. And
you're like, it's Charlie.
Damn. They know about Charlie. Yep. So what's the anticipated outcome, you think, at like long term? You thinking you're going to go for retirement now since you're going back in?
I think so. I'm probably likely going to stay in for 20 if I get back, since I'm getting back in, you know. So that's the goal right now. That's the process, and we'll stick with it.
What is the retirement plan now? Because I know, like, we were in when, I guess, you know, what is it? Like, when you retire, you can get, after 20 years, you can get 50% of your, like, last 2 year wages average or something.
Oh,
like that,
right? Yeah. I don't know.
You get 50% of that. But, like, what's your retirement package now? Because I know I think they stopped that for the newcomers, right? They've swapped it for, like, 401k type situation, or, like, you know, they match your contributions from my knowledge. Yeah.
So I don't know what, I have no idea. That would be a question that I actually thought about that like a while back and then I forgot about it, but I'm sure it's like, there's a clear answer. I just don't know it.
Yeah. Well, that's an important one.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Cause like, that's kind of the benefit of doing 20, right? It's like what you can like retire from or whatever, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's something that's going to have to come up. I'm sure I'll get the answer in the next month or so. But yeah. Try to think what else. I've been kind of hitting the training pretty hard, just like anticipating, you know, getting back in the whole time. So I feel pretty healthy. Like, I'm kind of stoked on that as far as swimmer stuff goes. So
I think, I was thinking that, like, do you feel like you're ready? You're pretty much matching what you were, if not better.
Yeah. The only thing I would say, like, I definitely, like, swimming wise, I'm there. Like PT wise and like running wise, I'm better than I used to be. Like, when I was going through A school, like, I'm faster and stronger now. But I think, like, just getting back in the pool and swimming with some fins on again would be useful, because I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
Because COVID, you know. So other than that, that's pretty easy to get back though.
Yeah, for sure. So would you have done this process if you had to just re-go through everything? Boot camp.
Oh, like back through A school?
Boot camp and rescue swimmer school. How about this? They guarantee, just, it's a weird system. Like, this is a like, for instance, right? Hypothetical. Yeah. This is your deal. You have to go and you do 3 weeks of your, what did we just talk about?
The depot.
The depot. 3 weeks of depot. So you go to boot camp for 3 weeks, and then immediately you get to the next A school. Would you take that deal?
Oh, like the next ASCA school?
Next rescue swimmer A school.
Yeah. I don't think I would, honestly, because my thought process with that would be like, that ASCA school is a whole thing. Like, it's a mental, like, and physical test, you know, but it's something you only want to do once. So like, I think if they said I had to go back through that, I would, like, honestly, I'd probably look at like joining another service and like doing something else, like pararescue or something. Like, I would try to, like, I don't think you can actually join the Air Force prior service, but I'd look at other jobs, you know, that have like some sort of process, if they kind of like resonated with me, and I'd try to do something like that.
Yeah. There's something,
because,
like,
I don't, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go. No, I was just saying, I like going back through that. Like, I don't know. I feel like it just wouldn't be the same. And it's like, it's one of those one-time deals, you know. If you fail out, it's different. Like, you'll go back and like, it'll be the same thing. It's like, but once you get through it, I feel like going back through it wouldn't be the same.
Well, why do you think like failing out and going back through it would be different? Like, because I was just thinking that too. Like, I feel like if you fail out and go again, that would be redundant and like hard mentally. Cause like you until you get to the point where you failed out, it's like damn, I'm doing the same thing over again. It's groundhog.
Like, you almost wish there was like a checkpoint. Yeah. Like in a game, you know, you get to a checkpoint and then you can go back and start from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be the most mentally, like, I have more respect for people who have to go back twice and become rescue swimmers, because that is intense. Like, one of my good buddies, who I was stationed with in Detroit, did that. He went back, you know, and he passed the second time. That's pretty legit. Like, I don't know if I could, you know, that'd be hard. Cause mentally it's like gotta be exhausting, you know?
Yeah. It puts you in that weird funk of, you know, like, cause you're still going to be exhausted. You're still going to be physically beat, but now it's like, again. So like, there's that extra, personally, I think, yeah, there's that extra edge of, oh my God, what's coming next? It's interesting. You know, even though there's those people, like, I had a guy in my class, it was his third time through, right? He unfortunately didn't make it in my class, and then he got referred again, so that was like his fifth time. It was ridiculous. All right, like, yeah. I don't know how many times he went through, but a lot. And yeah, it's like, it's kind of overwhelming, like, to think about, like, how would you compartmentalize
having, it'd be hard,
to do
it's
the
like
same
the,
thing again.
Yeah, because you, like, say you failed out, like, whatever. So you filled out halfway through at the one man. So, you know, A school sucks up to that point. Like, I mean, it sucks the whole time, but like going up to the one man, like every day is like a grind, you know, like PT, pool every day, water, they're testing your water con nonstop. So when you go back to the second time, you have to go through that like 8 week grind, knowing that you're going to have like a 5 minute period that's going to like basically determine whether you pass or fail again. Like, but you just have to wait for that 5 minute period for 2 months, you know, and you just got to kind of suffer through those 2 months. That's mentally exhausting.
I'd say the benefit though would be like your ego would probably kick, as far as like, say you had to go through again, right? Like your ego would probably kick in a little bit of like, hey, I've done this before, I can do it again. But then
the thing now is like, yeah, because you might not have the same drive, you know, because you're like, oh, I already did it.
That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Like you might not have losing, that hunger.
Yeah, you're missing the hunger. You're also probably missing a little bit of the fear. Like the fear is so important to succeed in these challenges.
Yeah.
And like the fear would probably be partially gone. And the ego could at that point start to compromise your entire
like it could actually mess you up.
Yeah.
And then you'd be the guy who failed.
Yeah, the second time.
Yeah, they'd be like, you passed and you failed. Like, what is this?
Then again, what would be kind of cool is you'd probably be in A school with individuals you know, and they would probably kind of have like a slight smirk as they're like going through it. Like, you know, they couldn't treat you any different, but still they'd be like, it's kind of funny.
I wonder if there's no way. I don't think that's happened before in the coast. Like, I wonder if it's happened at all. That would be kind of,
that'd be
such a great story.
Yeah. And how would that even work? Like, you know how there's the board? I guess you wouldn't get two names. Oh. Like your name twice on the board.
Someone's like looking at it like, what?
Yeah. Swimmer, yeah, like number two swimmer numbers. 800, whatever, and 1,300.
Yeah. They're like, well, who's this guy?
Yeah. That'd be, yeah, I'm guessing not.
But yeah, like, no.
But maybe they would put like,
well, what, have if, to, what if they do here's something? Here's the deal. What if you failed and they took your name down? They're like,
no, because they would never do that, right?
Yeah.
Because like, you made it through. It's like, your name's up and it's up and it's like, it's been up, right?
Yeah.
But like, yeah, maybe, what if they put like an X2, like next to, like times two?
Like this guy passed twice. That's not really. Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, bottom line, I would not, if they actually had me go back through, I wouldn't do it. Cause
yeah,
not that I wouldn't, like, I'd like to do the job again, obviously, cause I'm doing it, but like that would be brutal. Just like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But do you, how about this as a question? Like, say you really, that's what you're going to do. Do you think you'd make it through?
I think I would make it through, yeah.
Yeah.
I would just have to like freaking nail my buddy toes down again. But other than that, good to go. Just because you got to do like 1,000 freaking, you do so much buddy toe there, you know, you just got to like get the muscles built up again.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, I mean, I think it would just suck, but I feel like I'd be fine.
Yeah,
but honestly it would suck.
Yeah. All right, cool. What else did we want to talk about today? Oh, well, just talking about like I had another guy on the Wildertainment podcast who was in swimmer school with me, and he's a really cool athlete because he's still in and he is currently training the folks in New Jersey there in Cape May that are trying to go swimmer. So he was on the Wildertainment podcast, and we talk about like the kind of the mindset behind his athletic achievements, because he unfortunately did not make it through rescue swimmer school, but he's one of my closest friends. And yeah, we talk about kind of the mindset, the process, my flaws, some of my few successes in swimmer school. But we also talk about like, of course, the Wildertainment aspect of it, which is his canoe race, and he's also a power lifter now. So that's cool.
Oh, he's getting jacked. He's powerlifting now.
Oh yeah. He won some comps, I think, or something. Like,
okay.
He's a short guy, but like, I guess actually when you're powerlifting, that's
probably better.
Good. Yeah. But, yeah. And folks that are in the NAX program in, Cape May or in Elizabeth City there. No, not Elizabeth City, Cape May.
Yeah.
Probably know him. So yeah, check that out on the Wildertainment. That's going to be out in 2 weeks. So check that out before it's off, the rescue swimmer mindset. So,
oh yeah. Cool. We could also drop that. We went on we'll just wait on that, I guess. We went on we did a little tag team with another podcast. I guess when did we record? We recorded like last week.
Gotta edit it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But basically it's with another like bigger, it's like a PJ. What would you call him? His page is like PJ training. Basically he's a ex PJ instructor. He's a current PJ. And
is it called Be a PJ?
It's called How to Be a PJ is the name of the, the page that he has, and he has a podcast called One's Ready. So if you want to go check out his podcast, we're not on it yet, but we'll be on a podcast that they release in the next probably few weeks. So
yeah,
that'll be cool. So we'll post about it when it comes out. But
well, we'll also we'll probably launch it on our podcast for that week as well. So
yeah,
you guys can listen to it here, listen to it there. Check out their page. They're cool.
It was that was a cool
that
podcast.
Was like the biggest podcast I've ever done. What were we like six? We were like six in total on Zoom.
Yeah, it was pretty was unreal.
Yeah, it worked out fine.
Yeah,
yeah. So that'll launch soon, and you guys can that'll be up on YouTube too. So subscribe on the Rescue Swimmer Mindset on YouTube because we're trying to hit like
well, we hit 1,000.
We hit 1,000. So thanks y'all for checking out the YouTube page. So that
yeah, we appreciate that.
There'll be added stuff on there. So
yeah,
cool. Yeah. So RescueSwimmerMindset.com if you're trying to train. Real quick, the win the day still. Win the day. If you're getting after the grind, you know, at this point, we're not doing that. We still answer your questions on DM on Instagram, but a lot of folks do ask us about specific training. Sometimes I just want to copy paste win the day.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Check out this program. Cause
if you want to get in shape, get win the day. Like it's for anyone. It's just basically if you're joining the military and you want to go through one of these schools that has these like hard pipelines, get the program, get in shape. That's it.
Yeah. But no, that said, feel free to reach out on Instagram and we're more than happy to answer any questions you guys have. But yeah, sometimes I just want to answer three words, win the day.
Yeah, but if you have like a specific question about like push-ups, like, hey, I suck at push-ups. What are a few things we could do? One of us will send you like a quick message saying what you can do. But yeah, if you're just like, hey, do you guys have any workout programs? Win the day.
Yeah.
Just freaking, that's it.
I'll say this because at one point I thought we could come out with a like just the general military PT exercises and maximizing on their efficiency, but like I'll just say this now, like for example in push-ups, I think a lot of individuals don't quite know the proper push-up technique as far as which muscles to activate, and yeah, most people don't comprehend this. They're using their deltoids more so than their lats. So definitely engage those lats because that's the bigger muscle group, and that's pretty much what you want to be doing with any type of exercise. In anything, you want to be activating the largest muscle group. So same with squats, you're kind of trying to activate your hamstring there. With bench press, you actually engage your lats once again, your delts and your chest. But in push-ups, you're activating your lats and keeping the elbows in a diagonal with your body. So not in line, not totally parallel, but also definitely not perpendicular to your body, because at that point, that activates the deltoids and it can create some injuries. So if you're doing push-ups, lats diagonal with the elbows and really engage the back more so than even the chest and the shoulders. Concentrate on those muscles and keep the shoulders in the socket. Just a little tidbit, you know, because people do ask about push-ups and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Form is big, you know. That's one thing that people tend to forget for all these like workouts. So like we'll have like a PT pyramid, say like I'll like assign that for coaching. If I have like a student I'm coaching or something, and like, or even like for the win the day, we have PT pyramids in there. Like they'll be, oh, that workout was easy, but it's probably because you were just doing bad form and you didn't really like pay attention to like going all the way up on a pull up and all that stuff. So nail down the form and then worry about doing freaking 1,000 push-ups.
Yep. Like pull ups, military pull ups are always all the way down and then chin above the bar on the up. That said, be careful. Don't be just dropping on the extended arms and on your joints, because that is how you create injuries. You should create your shoulders injuries, your elbow, you'll get the tendonitis and whatnot. So
there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, lower down, fully extended, pull back up, engage the bigger muscles. Cool. Exactly. And that's why we're coming out with Perfect Form. That's going to be coming out in February. Check it out on Rescue Swimmer Mindset, and we'll break down in a very detailed masterclass how to maximize your swimming. It's basically the how to swim like a helicopter rescue swimmer course. We have the how to hold your breath like a rescue swimmer, and now we're gonna have the
like
how
that.
To swim
like, yeah like if a, we're being real it's swimmer. Like the same for yeah. Like it's different idea, but yeah
it's gonna kind be formatted in a similar format. Way except it'll be live this time, so you guys can really interact and ask your questions as we go through the course. So it'll be we'll have good content. We're creating the PowerPoint and a lot of research with some of the best swimmers I know that are given input that like things they wish they had known back then. So yeah, dude. This tea is still boiling hot in my little Walmart wood mug.
That's a good thermos. Yeah.
All right. So Charlie Sheen from Navy SEALs. Anything else today?
I think we covered everything. We're going to have some, I think we have good guests in the pipeline.
Yes.
Although we're not going to say anything about them, but.
No, I will. I'm going to say something about him. Marine Boot Camp. He's a true outdoorsman now. He's actually operates a fly fishing company. So again, Marine Boot Camp drill sergeant. And we've said we were going to have him on the podcast. He's currently working through some Wi-Fi issues in the boonies of where he fly fish. So that's why we haven't had him on yet. But that's very, very soon in the works. We're going to have somebody breaking down, I guess, the process of boot camp, the mindset of a drill sergeant.
That's cool.
Yeah, and how the leadership goes into that, because they're really tremendous people that dedicate a lot of their lives to all these recruits, and it's physically exhausting for them. So we'll have him on very soon, hopefully. Also trying to get in touch with the guy that was a helicopter rescue swimmer. There's multiple, but was a Coast Guard helicopter rescue swimmer and became an Air Force PJ. So that would be fun.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Getting in touch with that. We've got a doctor that's going to talk about breath holding, but he's deployed, so tune in, subscribe, and leave a rating review on the Apple podcast, and that helps us out because it's free, and that's how you can do your part. It's by leaving a little 5-star rating and a review.
All right, I think that's all I got. All you got.
That's it.
Wrap it up.
Rescue swim mindset. Toodles.
Toodles.
Toodles.